to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Lauri Koskinen, CTO and co-founder of Minima. He has broad design experience ranging from ultra-low power aspects of deep submicron transistors up to the high-level realization of various systems, including microcontrollers, deep learning, wireless biomedical sensors, audio and video coders. Lauri has one granted and six pending patents for the technology behind the Minima solution. He's an author or co-author of more than 50 papers in international conferences and journals. Welcome, Lauri.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me.
First, let's get started with how you came to the semiconductor industry.
Well, I probably don't have a good answer for that. I mean, I was always very interested in audio, you know, like a hi-fi buff. And then I was just thinking, would I major in audio and signal processing? But I had a couple of good friends who were already working in the university semiconductor lab. So they convinced me that this is really interesting, and here we are.
Great. Yeah, it was similar for me. I got interested in computers, and that took me to semiconductors. And no regrets whatsoever. It's really an exciting time to be in the semiconductor industry. In your blogs on SemiWiki, you really emphasized energy versus low power. So what's the argument you're making?
Okay. When optimizing for battery lifetime, you know, many times power and energy are used interchangeably. But actually, a battery stores energy. And you can really get small power numbers by doing things slowly. So that kind of obfuscates how much energy is being consumed. But if we look at digital CMOS, energy is proportional to voltage squared. And that means that VDD is by far the most effective knob to optimize energy. And going theoretical for a second, there actually is a minimum energy point, the MEP. And below this point, more energy is lost due to the chip slowing down and the corresponding leakage than you can gain from the VDD squared. And this is how you can minimize energy. But the catch is that this MEP point is most always at a very low voltage, you know, around 0.3 to 0.4 volts. So it's much lower than the nominal operating voltages, even in cutting edge embedded systems, which are around one volt. So this is actually also below the transistor's threshold voltage. And correspondingly, it's called sub or near threshold voltage, you know, depending on if it's below or near that threshold voltage.
Oh, got it. Yeah. So it's been said that near threshold voltage design is hard to implement and certainly hard to scale. What is Minima's approach to making it more widely available?
That's a good question. Hard to implement is definitely the prevalent spirit. And there's actually good reason for that. Both the near threshold and sub threshold variance increases exponentially. And variance is already a big problem. And to be honest, if you design chips as you've always done, you just margin all the variance in, you would cancel most of the gains that you get from near or sub threshold. But there are a few things that speak in favor of going to very low voltages. One, for most processes and applications, sub-threshold would actually be too slow. And because of this, when we only have to take near threshold into account, that cuts down on the variance a lot. Two, standard cells, CMOS standard cells, are actually quite robust. That's a part of the magic that really has kept CMOS dominant for 30 or is it 40 years by now. And these cells are quite capable of operating at near threshold, so you don't have to do redesign. And three, going into the Minima approach, if you control the system with a closed feedback loop, then the variance can be kept under control. And you also mentioned scaling. By keeping things simple, the technology is scalable. Using the Foundry library, which I already mentioned, and also using industry standard EDA, you really don't have to do anything to the design flow, and multiple design teams can implement it easily.
Great. So another question, what is unique about the approach of Minima to energy optimized digital design?
Well, I kind of went into that a bit because real-time adaptivity is the fundamental feature of Minima technology. It starts with us embedding small monitors with fine granularity into the design. In situ is a term we use for these monitors. At design time, this approach allows us to relax the timing constraints of the design. At runtime, then the system adapts autonomously to the PVTA, the process variance timing, and even aging. The system really understands how fast it can go, and it changes VDD or clock frequency by itself. So in essence, it is a dynamic voltage and frequency scaling, a DVFS system, which is a very well-known term. We actually use the term ultra-wide DVFS because we have near threshold. But I think even that term is too narrow because the system can be used to minimize energy energy per application. Let me give you a good example. We have some customers in audio now, and it's interesting that with our technology, that same system, that chip, can be used for true wireless stereo headphones and smart speakers. In these headphones, the always-on power is the key. You know, the system is always listening to you, and you really can't use the normal sleep modes because you have to keep it on all the time. Then on the other hand, a smart speaker system, you know, it has to improve the sound quality of small speakers, the bass especially. And this is actually quite a heavy signal processing load. But with Minima technology, you can really optimize the same system for the lowest possible power at the always on, and then lowest energy for the smart speaker. And notice that I even said power, even though I always say that energy and not power. But if you look at that system and how Minima uses its technology, you can really make an analog to Apple's the new M1 chip. You know, it's used in laptops, iPads, iPhones, or will be used. And this is something that we're also trying to achieve or are achieving.
Okay, but isn't energy optimization both a software problem as well as a hardware problem? You know, how does Minima help software engineers optimize for energy?
Oh, definitely. You could easily cancel the best energy-saving hardware with bad software. And this is a question that we are working on. For energy efficiency, you know, first, the software needs to understand the silicon's capabilities. But the current hardware software design methodologies don't really support this. That's why we see that the next mega trend is having the silicon adapt individually to each task at hand. That means that the OS needs to find its optimum operating point across the end product's wide range of tasks. These embedded real-time OSs need to become aware of energy and not just timing. Our in-situ monitoring can do this, and this is something that we'll come out with in the near future. But even now, we offer a reference OS and an early application analysis to help the customer understand their system better.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about your company. First, how did Minima get its name? I think you've already answered this in your other questions, but you know, just to sum it up.
Oh, that comes from the minimum energy point. And even our first version of the logo had the minimum energy point curve. And if you look at the I dots in the current logo, they make that curve. So it's the minimum energy point where it comes from.
Right. That's very clever. How did Minima get started in Finland? I mean, you're based in Finland.
We are. And in my humble opinion, Finland is a really great place for startups. Finland, both Finland and the EU have a variety of early stage financial instruments that support the new deep tech companies, so companies like us. And this is really mandatory for semiconductors because of the long, long development cycles that you see. And this is exactly how Minima got started. So in my academic days, I got really great governmental financial support. First from the science-oriented institutions, and I have to give a shout out to the Academy of Finland here. And later, I got more support from the business-oriented ones in the EU. Doing semiconductor without those would have been pretty impossible. And another good thing is in Finland is Nokia. Nokia is pretty well known. So technology and semiconductor has always had and still has interest with the students. So I was actually able to gather a really good team even before Minima started when I was still in the university. And on the semiconductor side in Minima, we haven't had to hire much from the outside. And definitely due to Nokia, Finland also has a great pool of experienced people on all levels of electronics design. So when Minima started, we found excellent experienced people, you know, to reinforce our know-how on other levels like software. And I don't know if you follow EU and its many things, but they're actually now again upping their investment in semiconductor. So I'd see a lot of new possibilities in Europe for chip design and semiconductor technology. So these are pretty exciting times for semiconductor.
Yeah, I agree with that. It takes a village to raise a good, innovative product for sure. So what's next for Minima?
Well, we have a good presence in the audio side, which is seeing my history is quite cool. But definitely we want to make the technology more scalable. So we want to expand it for all design teams and all customers. We want to look a bit more on the software side, like I mentioned, to help the customer understand where the power goes. And we even have some IP ideas if we'd start to look at processor architecture, like our name says, so that we'd have IP that has essentially inherent near threshold possibilities in it. So there's a lot to be done, but we still need some funding from the investors for that.
Great. Okay, this is a good stopping point. I want to thank everybody for participating in the Semiconductor Insider podcast series, and have a good day.
Thanks, Dan.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.